one of the two great commentaries on the Torah from the medieval period, which was saturated with commentaries, of course, Rashi's commentary and the Ramban's commentary. Sadly enough, for various reasons, the Ramban's commentary has become less popular, but it's a treasure chest of a broad range of ideas. It's really the foundation of our way of thinking in many ways. Rav Lichtenstein, and I'll talk about Rav Lichtenstein's relationship with the Ramban, was once asked if he could take one sefer with him to a desert island. He could only take one sefer. What would it be? And he answered the Ramban, because he felt that his worldview and the ideas expressed in the Ramban al Torah form the cornerstone of our Jewish orientation and our religious thought process. Part of the stylistic innovation of the Ramban is to view Svarim as large, holistic works rather than deconstructing psukim and letters, as is very popular amongst many people of his day. To this end, he introduces each sefer with an introduction, a very famous hakdamot of the Ramban. In his introduction to Bereishis, he issues two very interesting mystical statements. He talks about when Moshe wrote the Torah. Was it all written as one unit after 40 years? Was it written in stages? He speaks about the fact that it was directly delivered word for word from HaKadosh Baruch Hu to Moshe. It wasn't written as most of the prophecies were written in the voice of the prophet narrator. And then he talks about the fact that everything about this world, beyond just Torah knowledge, is incorporated through allegory, through hints, through innuendo, through textual and subtextual elements, such as crowns, such as gematrios, such as many, many different contextual or subtextual elements. Everything can be found in the Torah. This is, of course, reminiscent of Chazal's statement in Perkei Avos, Hafachba v'Hafachba d'Kulaba. Since Torah is the foundation of all reality, then by definition, everything about our world and about our universe can be located in the Torah. And he quotes a very famous Gemara in Rosh Hashanah, Daf Chaf Aleph. The Gemara speaks about 50 gates of understanding, Sha'arei Bina, and they were all delivered to Moshe Rabbeinu, aside from one. And the Ramban explains that each of these gates facilitates entry or understanding of a different aspect of our world. So to understand the natural kingdom, the inanimate objects is one gate of knowledge and understanding. And the trees is another gate. And the animals is another, we wouldn't call it a gate, but an entry point, access point, a portal. The birds, I'm just listing the different portals, which the Ramban lists, and the insects and the fish. And then, of course, there is a portal that allows us to understand human beings and to understand the way they speak and their consciousness and their emotions. And then the Ramban quotes something from a sefer called Hechalas Rabasi, which is a compendium of mystical, Kabbalistic statements of Chazal. And it's suggested in the sefer that you can understand human nature so well through the gates of Bina, of understanding that HaKadosh Baruch Hu introduced into this world and embedded subtextually in the Torah, that you'd be able to discern a person's moral behavior just by their visage, just by the way they look. So a thief would be discernible by his face, or an adulterer could be discerned by their face. And then, of course, the final gate, which is the gate of understanding Hashem, and the Ramban deliberates as to whether this wasn't revealed to Moshe, but was revealed to the Malachim, or wasn't revealed at all. There are different implications or different inferences that can be drawn from different sources. But either way, the Ramban's point is that all these pathways to understanding our broader world are embedded in Torah, including understanding the human condition. They can't be extracted directly from the text, but from subtextual elements such as gematria, such as various sources, traditions, which allow us to interpret the words in ways that are non-literal, such as the crowns. The Ramban quotes the Tagin, the Gemara, in Menachos Daf Chavtes, in which Moshe Rabbeinu ascends to Shemayim and witnesses HaKadosh Baruch Hu affixing crowns to various letters, and Hashem responds to him that one day the Jewish people, and you'll be Darish, You'll be interpreting and translating each of these crowns. And in fact, the Ramban makes reference to a Sefer Tagin, a book of crowns, which created the coded interpretations of these crowns, which Chizkiah HaMelech possessed. A little bit later in the Ramban, a second mystical statement, that the Torah is compiled exclusively of HaKadosh Baruch Hu's names. Kol HaTorah Kula Shemosav Shel HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Now, we interpret this statement of Chazal. By the way, I haven't really found this statement in explicit sources, but the Ramban quotes it, and it certainly was a medrash that Chazal were aware of, and it's quoted frequently in Torah literature. The simple interpretation that the entire Torah is compiled of Hashem's names is names aren't to be taken literally. A name is just a metaphor for the will or for the approximation of someone. If my name is Moshe, then that's not who I am, but that's how people reference me and access me, by calling my name. So if we want to access HaKadosh Baruch Hu, we study his will. So the Torah is effectively, functionally, his name. If we want to access a human being, we call their name. If we want to access HaKadosh Baruch Hu, we study his will, which is the Torah. But the Ramban took this statement quite literally. And for the Ramban, the Torah has many different permutations. The Torah which we read, Bereishis Bara Elokim, can be read as one long string of letters divided very differently from the way we recognize and the way we're familiar with. And if you were to segment this string of letters differently, you would come up with a Sefer Torah, at least one version, which would be compiled exclusively of the names of HaKadosh Baruch Hu. And Moshe received both versions. Of course, he transferred to us the version that we have, Bereishis Bara Elokim, Esah Shamayim V'Esaretz V'Aretz Ha'isas Ovavo, Choshech Apnei Sehom. But the Torah can be read as a string of letters that would compile, or that would comprise, names of HaKadosh Baruch Hu. These two mystical statements in the Ramban together establish a multi-striated, layered system of Torah that provides access to worlds of study beyond just mitzvahs and beyond just the Torah as we know it. Now, what's interesting about this Ramban for me is that Rav Lichtenstein spoke about this Ramban very extensively in a very, very important sefer. A few years before Rav Lichtenstein passed, he was interviewed by a great Rosh Hashiva in Israel named Rav Chaim Sabata, the Rosh Hashiva of Malei Adumim himself, worthwhile becoming familiar with to those who may not know him. He's just an incredible, incredible person, scholar, novelist, really one of these Renaissance people. So he interviewed Rav Lichtenstein in a sefer which was called Mevakshei Panecha. It has been recently translated into English. It's called Seeking His Presence. To those who are unfamiliar with Rav Lichtenstein and want an introductory experience, I strongly, strongly endorse and strongly recommend the sefer. And in one of the early stages of the sefer, Rav Sabato remarks to Rav Lichtenstein how he remembers from his childhood, growing up in Egypt, that his grandfather, who is a chacham, would teach them the Rambam and contrast it with the Ramban, and they would have conversations about it. And this little anecdote about Rabbi Sabato's life launches Rav Lichtenstein's response about why he values the Ramban, what he gets from the Ramban. And this was in line with so many of the comments Rav Lichtenstein so often made to us about the Ramban. In this book, Rav Lichtenstein references this section. And to the Ramban, or to Rav Lichtenstein, it was clear from the Ramban that it is important to know areas of study beyond just Torah knowledge per se, or the explicit, overt mitzvahs, but to understand the world and to understand human nature. Now, what's interesting, and Rav Lichtenstein was aware of this, is that the Ramban suggests a different set of tools. For the Ramban, the tools are what we would call mystical interpretations of the Torah, the Sha'arei Bina, which the Gemara references in Rosh Hashanah. And the Ramban, of course, was a Mekubal, was a Kabbalist, and taught Kabbalah. And in our world, Rav Lichtenstein recognized or acknowledged that with the receding popularity of Kabbalah, and the Ramban himself is aware that Kabbalah may not be digestible or understandable across the board. And the Ramban suggests at certain points that people skip some of the Kabbalistic elements in his parish. So the Ramban himself is aware that Kabbalah may not be universally accessible. But Rav Lichtenstein sensed in the Ramban the importance of these fields of study, and hence the viability and significance of trying to create alternate tools. And for Vlachinstein, those alternate tools were ultimately studying these fields directly. And this is, of course, the perennial discussion as to whether non-Torah fields of study are appropriate. In theory, it's tautologically true that every single aspect of human experience and of our universe can be extracted from Torah, because Torah is at baseline, and if we were able to read the Torah at all these subtextual levels and mystical fashions, we'd be able to extract math and science and human nature from Torah, rendering the direct study of math and science and literature and art and culture meaningless, futile. But we don't possess those skills. And not only do we not possess those skills quantitatively, we're not even involved in the world of Kabbalah and in familiarity, basic familiarity with those skills. So if you sense in the Ramban that these fields of study are important to round out our knowledge of HaKadosh Baruch Hu's world, then substituting modern tools to achieve similar results of the Ramban is essentially in line with the Ramban's program. Rav Lichtenstein in this section also speaks about appreciating the complexity of the human condition, and he senses an inbred complexity in the Ramban. Just an interesting quote. Rav Lichtenstein responded to Rav Sabato, "I once said that if someone were to ask me what I learned in my 4 years at Harvard," Rav Lichtenstein did a doctorate degree in Harvard, "I could answer in a single sentence. I learned that the world is complex and that man is complex." And Rav Aaron sensed this in the Ramban, the complexity of the world, the complexity of the human condition. And there's a little bit of a lament in this section that the Ramban is not more popular in our day, but a recognition that even if someone avoids the Ramban and this, so to speak, philosophical inquiry, when I say philosophical, I don't mean high philosophy in the sense of metaphysics of the Akedas Yitzchak or Rabbeinu Kraskas or even the Mar Nevuchim, the Ramban is much more moderate philosophy, but just understanding your world and understanding the structure of our world and how the universe was created. Rav Aaron agrees that people don't need them, and they certainly can merit Olam Haba, as he said, by having covered all of Rabbi Akiva Eiger, but he felt that people are completely oblivious to the Ramban. They're missing out on a great work and a great entry point into this world of understanding the world beyond Torah, or the world that Torah encodes, but can only be accessed by reading Torah, perhaps in manners that we're no longer familiar with or accustomed to.